Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you once again for joining the Silky Undress Lifestyle of the Lady CEO Talk Show. I am your host this morning. My name is Cece Cole. I'd like to thank you for joining us this morning. Today it is Friday morning at 10 a.m. and I must tell you, I am located in Central Florida right now. And we have been experiencing the wrath of a woman. Her name is Faye. She has come through here in various different forms. She has such a personality. She came in as a sprinkler, and she gave us a little bit of water. And then she decided that that wasn't good enough, and so she came back again, and she gave us a little bit more, this time with a little bit more force. And as if that was not enough, and I think she was under the assumption that we really, really, really enjoyed to visit, she came back and really just poured down on us. We are in the midst of a hurricane or thunderstorm. She's not really sure what she would like to be. And it has been raining consistently for about 4 days nonstop, heavy rain. So for all you folks out there with a little sunshine, if you could just throw a little bit this way, we really appreciate it. Oh, I'd like to thank you once again for joining us. We have had just a tremendous week and just getting ready for the upcoming shows that we will be bringing to you. We have some awesome women from all around the world that will be joining us, and we're just really so excited about that. And I'd like to say that we've received a lot of comments and compliments on the past shows. I really thank you very much for tuning in and listening to the Silky Undress Lifestyle of the Lady CEO Talk Show. We really do appreciate it, and we want you to stay tuned with us and stay locked in right there, because if you think that was good, we have some really dynamic women coming forth. And so we are here to please you, and we are listening to your concerns and your comments and your suggestions, and we appreciate all the comments that we've been receiving. So thank you so very much for being a great listening audience. This morning, joining us, we have another dynamic program. We will be speaking to fantastic women to tell us a little bit more about what they do. Basically, the whole platform of our show is to platform successful women to talk about all of the successes that they've had, and not only that, but also to share the tips on how they've actually got those, got to where they actually are. Excuse me, and so it's really interesting when you listen to women who are successful, and you realize that it didn't happen overnight. And some of them would tell you that they've been groomed since the time they were a child, and it takes a lot of work and dedication and a lot of sweat and tears to actually get to that point. And so it's always very enlightening to actually hear their stories, because it helps all of us grow. We all grow from it one way or the other, and we can always learn from other people's mistakes and other people's successes, what they've done wrong that we don't want to repeat, or what they're doing right that we want to grab onto and try to take that and use as a model to continue on to go forward. And so we will also be bringing you that today. And I also like to tell you that an upcoming release of Silky Undress is just really fabulous. We were really concerned at one point in time in terms of our timing and getting it out, because it was just so overwhelming with all the information that we were getting from our readers in terms of what they would like to see in the magazine. The feedback has just been tremendous, and we really appreciate it. And so we're stepping up to the task, and we appreciate the suggestions in terms of what you want to see and what you would like to read in Silky Undress. So we thank you very much for being dedicated readers and followers of Silky Undress, and giving us the true suggestions in terms and your opinions in terms of the look and feel that you like of the magazine. So I really appreciate it. It's just really warm and exciting to hear, get some of the letters that we receive in the emails. It's just really embracing. So I thank you. Thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart. It is such a humbling experience when you can get those type of emails from women all around the world who are at the top of their game, who are, you know, cheerleaders of Silky Undress, who are helping us along the way, who help us recognize our mistakes and help us correct them. I'm one to tell you that I make mistakes every day, so I really do appreciate our good followers who are bold enough to step out and say, hey, you know what, this was really great, but you should have done this. I really thank you, because it makes us grow and make us to be the fabulous magazine that we are today. Our numbers are growing. We are now up to 230,000 on distribution. So I really thank you, and that's from a humbling 2,000 just last year when we first began. So now we're up to 230,000. So I thank you so very much for being strong supporters of Silky Undress, and to keep the magazine going and to sharing it with your friends. We get emails from Pakistan. We get emails from India, from Africa, just telling us how they really do like the magazine and how they got it. You know, a lady in Africa told me that she received the magazine from a lady that's located in California. How awesome is that? And so now she's a subscriber, and she follows the magazine, and she will be featured later on in the year. So it's just been really incredible, and we really do thank you. So we do have some fantastic women that will be joining us this morning. And one of them is my friend and my confidant, Alana Kim, who is an author, motivational speaker, and just a tremendous woman. She is very powerful. You'll be hearing a little bit more from Svetlana this morning. Lana is an entrepreneur. She's a businesswoman and a community leader. Her life story is truly just an American story. She's an immigrant searching for and finding human kindness in a foreign country, and along the way determining her own destiny and success. She has written a book that's called White Pearl and I. It is just an incredible book, and it's the a story of her journey, her journey of life, and it's just an amazing story. And we're going to bring Lana on. You're going to hear a little bit more from Lana in terms of her book and the journey that she has endured from being the legal process for her being a political refugee, and how she became a stockbroker. Her life is just an incredible story of success, and she's just an awesome person. I'm glad to have her as my friend and as my confidant and as my mentor. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get Lana on the line with us this morning so you can hear from the woman herself.
Good morning,
Lana. How are you?
I am doing terrific. I wanted to thank you so much. It's 7 o'clock in California. It's a beautiful day, and it's just a pleasure to be on your show, and I welcome all of your incredible women, passionate followers and listeners, and I absolutely adore all the guests on your show. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, thank you so very much, and thank you for joining us this morning. I know it's very early where you are, so thank you very much for the commitment. We have a lady named Faye in town, and she has been visiting us for about 5 days and raining on us consistently. We're in the midst of a storm. How's it going in California?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm right in San Francisco, so it's a chilly day. But it's just absolutely beautiful, and my motto is every day as a gift from God.
Oh, okay.
Live
that
your
is awesome.
Full, yes, absolutely. Every day is a gift and never wasted.
Well, that is great. Well, I want to go ahead and talk a little bit more about you and what you're doing, the endeavors that you are dipping into right now with your new book that's going to be released. Is it later this year?
It's going to be released late in October, beginning of November.
Okay, great. Okay, Lana, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to go into a Q&A, and just so we can get a little bit more familiarized in terms of what you're doing right now.
Well, thank you so much, Cece. About me, I am a fourth generation of Russian Koreans, which means my great-grandmother, Elena Huan, she immigrated to far east of Russia from Korea in the end of 1890. My grandmother does not remember the date, so I don't have a certain date. Back then, in 1861, Russian Tsar made a deal with Korea to bring Korean people to Russia to colonize the far east of Russia, which is very close to Japan if you look on a map. In 1861, only 13 families moved because it was a big change and a commitment, and many of them had many, many children. And the reason, if you ask me why people moved from Korea to Russia in the end of 1890, starting in 1861, is simple. They wanted to have a better life. And Korea had difficult economic times. Many people didn't have enough food to bring on the table for their families. My grandmother was born in Russia in 1915. She is 93 years old today, and she's my greatest inspiration. I am only the child. Both of my parents are doctors. My father is still practicing in Russia. He's pulmonologist. Anything that relates to the lungs, he deals with. And my mom is retired as a midwife. My parents are very disciplined and strict. And, of course, they put a lot of pressure on me to be successful and to succeed. As a child, I was very curious. I was a vivid reader. I was taught how to read at late age compared to my cousins. I learned how to read when I was almost 6 years old. But the first book that I opened, it was about the Peter the First, the Russian emperor, and I just fell in love. It was the world of imagination. And one time I called my father at the hospital, and I said, "Dad, I'm so bored. Can I come over to visit you?" And he said, "No, I'm busy, but use your imagination." And I think that is really helped me to, live in a different world. And I love reading books. I read every day, Cece, before I go to bed or early in the morning. I escape from reality into my world where I imagine the things happening. And it's truly powerful. And later on, I learned how to use imagination and how to really focus on your impossible dreams and to make these dreams a reality.
Well, that is incredible. So that was a huge book for you to read at the age of six.
Oh, I did. That was a huge book. I read only a few pages.
Well, that is really great. Now, your book, White Pearl and I, is a memoir of a political refugee. It opens with the simple line that it all started with a loaf of bread that didn't exist. Can you tell us a little bit more about your first chapter that you called The Innocent Trip to a Local Bakery?
Oh, sure. When I start reading the book, I have the first sentence, it all started with a loaf of bread that didn't even exist. And my last line of the book, what's next? Who knows? And that gave me so much power to really, you know, I called my friend and I said, listen, I wrote the book. And she said, really, so fast? And I said, I got my first sentence and I got my last sentence. She's like, oh, ho, but you have a lot of work to do in the middle. And my mind functioned in a different way. And what I did, I started writing almost like Anton Chekhov did when he wrote his books. And it usually would say, you know, there is a rumor in town, there is a new woman walking with a duck on a beach. And I said, why not to start, you know, with a loaf of bread that didn't exist. But it's a story where I go to the local bakery in Leningrad in December of 1991, 2.5 months before the whole Soviet Union collapsed. Our president was Mikhail Gorbachev, who I personally admire for his courage to have, you know, to bring freedom to Russia in terms of speech and writing. It didn't happen, in my opinion, but he definitely had the courage to change Russia. I was standing there and listening to all the conversation. One woman said, you know, it's going to get worse. You know, the whole country is going to collapse. Another man who looked like a professor was reading the book, and he said, why did we fight in 1917, the first Russian Revolution? We don't even have bread. There was no bread delivery for 3 days, Sissy. I know it's hard to imagine to us today. And all of a sudden, they stopped talking, they turned their heads, and they looked at this gorgeous, black, sleek Mercedes 500. And the window, the guy rolled the window down and said, people, do we have bread or do we have to go home to eat potatoes? And I started laughing. It was my old classmate. He dropped out of school. I haven't seen him for years. His name is Vladimir. And I think, oh, Vladimir works on black market because my student pension was less than $4 a month, and he's driving very expensive, fancy car. Here he comes out of the car, and he has, you know, oversized, too cool for school Versace sunglasses in December, and long leather coat, and I looked. He has, like, jeans and fancy sneakers, and I said, oh, my gosh, this is really, truly my dream. And back then, jeans are, you know, very fancy, you know, not everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was reading the article, and they said, you know, Russian businessmen made a lot of money from selling jeans. I said, I can't believe it. Anyway, so Vladimir had a crush on my girlfriend, Ludmila, who looked like Kate Moss. She was very petite, skinny, and a beauty about Ludmila is that she can wear anything and change her outfit and look totally different. And I think this is truly true about Kate Moss, her ability to transform the look, transform the face. Ludmila was the only child, like myself. It was very common in the former Soviet Union to have one or two children because we lived with parents. Our generation, my generation, we were supposed to take care of our children. And even if I were married and lived in Russia today, I would be living with my parents. And usually you live with your in-laws. So I would be living with my parents in-laws.
Okay.
And he started the conversation. He said, is Ludmila married? And I said, no, she moved to New York. She didn't invite you? She did. Yes, she did. Are you going to visit her? I said, you must be crazy. You know, I'm just a normal student. I'm not rich. I'm not a model. What I'm going to do in New York City? And I said, it's impossible to get an airline ticket. I was just making up, which was true, but it just came to me last minute. And he said, I have a ticket for you. And without even thinking, I said, done deal. And he said, deal is not done until I have cash in my hands. And plus, it's very, very expensive. Vladimir charged me probably 10 times more than the normal price. And that's why he's driving a very expensive car. And I didn't have visa, so I needed to get visa to raise money to pay for his ticket on the black market to get ready, pack, and leave for New York City to meet with Ludmila. That's the beginning of the story.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. That is a great story. I would be, what is he doing? And what is he doing today?
Well, I wrote the book and I told the true story. It's really a story about a 23-year-old young woman coming from Russia, not speaking any words of English except one word hi that, you know, helped me to get visa at the embassy with $1 to my name. And apparently Ludmila moved to Canada the same day I arrived to New York City. And my cousin had a friend of her friend who was an attorney and probably is an attorney today in Sacramento in Golden River. So I had a letter for her from her cousin. And I was on a mission to deliver this letter. And a stranger buys me a ticket. I took a bus from New York City to San Francisco. It took me 3 days and three nights, 47 stops, and a few bathroom stops because I didn't even imagine there is a, you know, there is, I'm sorry, opportunity to you know, to go on a bus. So I was just exhausted because I didn't eat for 3 days, and I didn't drink enough water. So when I got
what did you think about that, though? Yeah, when you got there, what did you think about that?
First of all, I don't even remember anything that I saw in New York City because I realized waiting for 8 hours at JFK for Ludmila that what did I do? What did I do? I didn't realize that being on the airplane. But when I got off, and it was just a few days before Christmas, and you can imagine JFK, it was extremely hectic, and people are just, you know, carrying their Christmas gifts. They're hugging each other. There's so much energy and movement. And I found an empty seat, and I just rushed through the crowd. I jumped into that seat. Hugged my little backpack, and I was sitting there and waiting for Ludmila, and I didn't even know how to make a phone call.
Wow.
After 8 years, a stranger came to me and started the conversation, but Cece, I don't speak any words of English, and you know, the sound of foreign language gives me a headache. It was like, you know, I can't even explain. I know some of your listeners can relate to me. But it's like if you go to Russia and everyone speaks Russian so fast, and you just, like, you know, after about 20 minutes listening, you say, oh my gosh, you know, I have a headache. That's how I felt. And he started the conversation with me, and I pulled out my red passport and a letter for my cousin's friend who lives in Sacramento. And he said, okay, you know, I'll be back. So he disappeared and he came back. And he started saying Canada. And, you know, Canada sounds the same like in Russia, Canada. And I said, wow, unbelievable. And, you know, at that moment, I wasn't really upset, disappointed, scared. I said, wow, my journey starts that my friend is moving to Canada and I'm here, you know, arrived to New York City. Anyway, so he helped me to get to the bus terminal. He bought me a ticket for $186.
Oh, wow.
He waited. He talked to the bus driver, and he left, and I've never seen him again.
Oh, wow. Angels from God, I tell you. Wow.
And there are some people. I was interviewed by Carol Adrian, the author of The Purpose of Your Life. It's an incredible book. That book I highly recommend. It changed my life. And apparently my story was on James Redfield website, who wrote this Celestine Prophecy. And people said, people still called me from Japan, Indonesia, and they said, we cannot believe that you met so many generous people on your way. And I wrote about my mentor, Don Kalb, about my female mentor, Edie Fraser in Washington, D.C., people who shaped my life and who really helped me when I didn't have a place to stay. So I am forever grateful to people like you who listen to my story and to my dreams. I'm grateful to this country and to the opportunities. And, you know, I'm always grateful to the higher power.
Well, I tell you, he always steps in right on time. I mean, he never forgets about us. And just when we think that there is no, you know, we have all the curiosities in terms of how things are going to end up, he always writes the final story. And he always sends people along the way to help you.
I love
him. He really does.
And
now, when you were, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And, you know, I think that everyone is born with talent, power, and definition of power is different to our modern society. When I talked to my 93-year-old grandmother, White Pearl, her Korean name is Bayok, means White Pearl. That's why I titled my book, White Pearl and I. And she was born in Russia in 1915, and the Russian Tsar made, he said, we will give you the Russian citizenship, but number one, you have to lease the land and to be farmers, and number two, you have to be Orthodox Christian.
Ah.
So she has Russian name, Olga, and Korean name, Bayok, but to me, she was, you know, my loving babushka. So.
Okay. Now, are you fluent in Russian?
Yes, I am.
Oh, awesome. That is awesome. Now, I'm just curious, on that bus, there was 3 days you had there without eating, and you met some really fantastic people along your way. Were you thinking about home? Were you thinking about your parents? And what was your first impression of New York? And did you find it exciting to arrive in the Big Apple?
What a great question. First of all, you know, my father took me to the first McDonald's in Moscow in January of 1990. And there were lines for miles outside of McDonald's at Pushkin Square.
For four miles?
we waited for a long time to get in. Some people waited for 6 hours to get in. And today, it's the busiest McDonald's in the world. They have, I heard, like 3,000 seats. My four cousins live in Moscow. They said it's gigantic. It's like 3,000 seats.
Wow.
And, you know, I always admire Liza Minnelli. I wanted to stroll, you know, through the Central Park, and I wanted to visit McDonald's in New York City. I wanted to see why they call this fast food. I just couldn't get it. But, you know, my parents knew that I wanted to move to United States. But they said, well, go ahead and try. They didn't believe that it's possible to get visa and to buy airline tickets. And, you know, so many of my friends wonder, did you get permission from your parents? And I said, well, that is a gray line because I kind of got permission, but my parents, of course, didn't want me to leave because I was the only child, and I didn't have money. I didn't speak English. They were concerned about my future, and I think that's the only reason because, you know, in Russia, parents want their children to be close to home. And I went to China City in February. I was amazed how culture, I found some similarities in Chinese culture. And I told my tour guide, and he was laughing. He said, I don't think China is like Russia. And I said, no, 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 I'm not saying that. But I said, like, your culture, when children grow up, they go to colleges, they get their education, they come back, live with their parents, and take care of them. And I said, that is similar in Russia. And he said, well, it's changing now. And I said, well, it's changing in Russia now because everyone wants to be an independent and to have their own house, which is wonderful. But when I was on a bus, Cece, I was thinking about my grandmother, who is my greatest inspiration. In 1937, she was 22 years old. She was a student at University of Vladivostok, studying Korean literature. She came home and found that the house is empty, you know, The bucket of rice was spilled all over the floor in the kitchen. It's actually, you know, was a log house. And she realized later on, my gosh, something is going on. And that minute, her neighbor, Elena, knocked on the door and she said, get out of the house. You know, Joseph Stalin is deporting all Russian Koreans from this island, from this region. And my grandmother said, where is my little brother Nikolai? He was probably about 10 years old. And she said, well, he was on a train, on an early train this morning, and he's gone. So my grandmother, without any further questions, rushed to her university, which was about an hour from her little town called Artyom. She went back to school, and her lovely teacher, he was a professor of Korean literature, and his wife said, do not worry, we'll travel together. So they were on the same train to the Central Asia, the south of Russia. It's not the same region, but if you look on a map, that's where you see the Kazakhstan, Armenia, Georgia, what's going on today, that region. And my friend asked me, why? Why? We've never heard about this. The deportation of Soviet Koreans, the former Soviet Koreans, is still banned by Communist Party. In 1937, Russia was getting ready for World War II, and Joseph Stalin was afraid that Russian Koreans would be spying for Japanese army because they look like Japanese. And the deportation took 3 months. Starting in the end of September of 1937, and nearly 200,000 people were moved from that island of Sakhalin in the far east of Russia. Wow. Many of them perished on the way because it was a cold fall. It's in my book, Cece. So I'll tell the story. And I flew to interview my grandmother, and because it's nonfiction, I have to be true to historical facts, which I did a lot of research. And I was trying to write I was trying to keep authenticity of my grandmother's voice because, you know, she's going to read it. She didn't read my manuscript. She knows what I'm writing about because I got the permission from her. But it's going to be fabulous, and I'm just, you know, looking forward to see her reaction to that. And once again, Russia was their motherland. You know, she was born in Russia, and she respects the culture and the language. But Koreans were preserving their culture. She still speaks Korean, but apparently it's a dialect. If she talked to someone from South Korea, they would not understand each other. But it was amazing to me that my parents didn't speak Korean, and I don't speak Korean because Joseph Stalin ordered to burn the textbooks and close all the Korean schools in 1937.
Oh, wow. That is just an amazing story. Now, I read in your book about your story from being a cleaning lady to going to a stockbroker and then holding a fundraiser for Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. That's like so inspiring. Did you just rely on luck, or did it just happen, or, you know, how did it happen? You're just incredible.
Well, thank you so much. Well, number one is always be yourself. When I became a stockbroker, you know, it's a world of money and power, and I was the third female stockbroker among 63 or 65 brokers, mostly.
Wow, I would love to be in that position, but go ahead.
Well, and I'm telling you, I have the best mentor, Don Kalb. He helped me. I came to the meeting on Monday morning, and I said, well, my name is Lana Kim. I'm so excited to be here. And the guy didn't shake my hand. So I went to my desk. I went to my desk, and I was thinking, what is my strategy? How am I going to build my business here? And then in a second, someone tapped on my shoulder. It was Don Kalb. He unfortunately passed away at the age of 53 from heart attack and complication after the heart attack. And he said, no matter what happens, you're still God's child. No matter what happens, if you believe in yourself, you will succeed. No matter what happens, if you wanted to do it, you'll do it. And it was just absolutely powerful. And he started mentoring me, because books like motivational books they didn't exist in Russia. When I lived in Russia in the end of 80s and 90s, when I was able to read the books, and I was just absolutely, absolutely amazed by the power of these books. I mean, I love Brian Tracy and Dr. Robert Schuller. And I just, you know, and I read, Cece, I read inspirational books every day. And I think because our media is negative, we have to stop and pick up a good book, positive books. I look at positive images. I love to see people from all around the world. Maybe in my past life I was a traveler. And I just, you know, tear the page, you know, and I would say, oh, my gosh, I would love to go to China. And in a few months, a woman called me. She said, congratulations, you are the recipient of 2008 Asian Academy Hall of Fame. We're flying you to Beijing.
Wow, you see that? You willed it in. That's incredible, the power of the will, the power of the will.
Thank you. I'm sharing all the stories in my book, and I'm getting back to your question, do I rely on luck? My grandmother talked about luck, and maybe it's because, you know, Asian influence, Chinese talk about good fortune, she talk about luck. But what I learned is you create your own luck, Cece. And how you do that is staking your goals. And even if it's impossible, like, you know, for me, I wanted to live in a free country. I wanted to have freedom. And I think that's the main reason I came to this country, because I wanted to have freedom. I can imagine myself writing this book in Russia. Yeah, I'm so grateful for this opportunity. And even that time when I was cleaning a restroom, not in a pretty area in San Francisco, I knew tough times never last long. I knew that I'm doing this only for a short period of time. And I was looking forward, what is my next, you know, chapter of my life. And one day a lady said, you have pretty nails. And I couldn't afford to have manicure done. I couldn't afford to buy a magazine. I couldn't afford to buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks. I couldn't afford to even take a bus ride. I was walking across the town. And I look at her and I said, my dream is to survive. And she said, no, you got to dream bigger. And bingo, something happened to me. And I said, I know, I wanted to be successful. And from that moment, I told myself that the reason I came over is to give back. I volunteer all the time. I give back. It's important. People said, how do you feel? You must feel powerful. You wrote the book. It's going to be on Amazon, you know. And I said, writing this book is wonderful, but nothing is like giving back to someone who has less money than you are, who doesn't have opportunity right now. And I was just so touched by the young men and women who came from Iraq. I was at the gala, and they were so inspiring. I was invited to speak on Sunday at the Lincoln Memorial for the 55th anniversary of Korean War. And
honorable stories.
Thank you. And listening to their stories, I stood there and I said, what am I going to say to these people who volunteered to serve in Iraq? And, you know, I said, thank you for your service. And they said, we did it for all of you and for this country.
That's incredible. How did your fundraiser go for Hillary Clinton?
Oh, it was, well, first of all, it went very well, Cece. Thank you so much for asking. I learned so much watching behind the scene, and I'm telling you, Hillary is on mission. And the same thing, she is an incredible thinker. She's a visionary. She's a strategist. She puts the strategy. She executes them. To me, she's an inspiration, truly. And my grandmother told me one day, she said, can I ask you something? I said, Grandma, sure. And she said, would you volunteer for Hillary Clinton? And
your grandmother asked you?
My grandmother in Russia. And she said, I can't imagine a woman running for the president of the United States. She's like, in my life. She said, when I was accepted to university in 1937, it was a big deal. And today, she said, you know, all of my children, all of my grandchildren went to colleges and are really successful. They have doctors, engineers, designers in our family. And she said, but back then, she said, I couldn't imagine that. And I said, grandmother, of course I will. So that day I was about to call my mentor, Edie, who is very active she's still active on campaign. And it says, how nice to be involved and to raise money for first woman running for the president of the United States. Would you be interested to come to the event at my house? And once again, like, do I rely on luck? I think there is synchronicity in my life, and I do believe in synchronicity. Even our conversation with you today, Cece, is the moment for me. It's the best moment for me right now.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome.
Thank you for I just admire you personally for what you do, because you live your passion. You change people's lives. You touch people's hearts, and that is just priceless. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being a great mentor. It's really great when I call you and you can whisper those words of encouragement and give me the energy and the gas I need in my motor to keep going forward and to dream, you know, and to live through your imagination that you have for me. And I see the big picture. So thank you for being a great mentor. Now, let me ask you, what is your motto?
Anything is possible. Dream impossible dreams, because you never know. And I have a question for you. Did you dream to have a successful business as you have today? Did you dream about that?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I did, and I still do. The dream grows bigger. Oh, yes, absolutely. Every single day I ask God for direction, for mental clarity. I do. I dream about it all the time.
And we're on mission, Cece. The universe, God, sends right people your way. It puts you in the right places. Like I was, you know, sitting at JFK someone bought me a ticket. I had no place to stay in San Francisco, and the hairdresser puts the ad on the mirror and says, Russian immigrant is looking for a room.
Hmm.
And a family unofficially adopted me, very wealthy family, Julie and David in San Francisco. Otherwise, I would probably going back to Russia, or I would be, you know, on the street. I do believe that, you know, imagination is powerful because I was practicing since I was a little girl. One day when I wanted to write this story, I took a book. It was written by Amy Tan, The 100 Secret Senses, and
yeah.
I turned the book, sweetie. I turned the book, and, you know, on the old version, there is no picture of Amy. And I just put my own picture on Amy Tan's book. I just taped it with a tape, scotch tape. I put it, and I looked. And I turned the cover of the book. It says National Bestseller, The 100 Secret Senses, Amy Tan. And I closed my eyes, and I started dreaming about my book. And I got the sense when I opened my eyes, it says Svetlana Kim. White
wow.
girl and I. And that was the day when I started writing every day. And people ask me, how do you write a book? You're not a professional writer. And I think when it comes from the heart, you have to have life experience to write a story.
Mm.
And you have this moment when it just comes to you and you write. You can't force. Anything that we force is not natural. It doesn't have the natural flow. And
wow.
another thing is, I would give an advice, and I know you do a lot of creative writing, and also advice to your listeners. If you're writing a book or you're writing a poem, do not compare yourself to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But do the research and read the book that inspire you. When I made the decision to write a memoir, I was reading memoirs only. And my favorite memoir about Isaac Dinesen, who wrote Out of Africa, it's about her life. And I just love because it reads like a novel. It's a memoir, but it really has this incredible feeling. It's a beautiful storytelling, and I think that's what you do. You ask a woman to share their story. What's your story of glory? So I love that line.
Thank you. It was inspired by God. It was inspired by God. Well, Lana, thank you so very much for taking time out your busy schedule. I know it's really early where you are, 7 o'clock in the morning. I just really thank you very much for having the opportunity to come in and share your story with our readers and our listeners of the Silky Undressed Lifestyle of the Lady CEO magazine. And can't wait for your book to hit the scene. Let me know. We will definitely do some marketing for you, and I will be fly into your release party. It's on my
Wonderful.
Calendar, so I will see you shortly. And thank
Wonderful.
You once again.
Cece, thank you so much. You know, you're a wonderful friend, an inspiring friend. So I wanted to thank you so much for being with me on this journey. And I think I use less I, and I use more we. We together, because no one, you know, Napoleon Hill said, one soldier cannot win the battle. Isn't it wonderful?
Mm.
And together we can. We're much more powerful, and I'm so proud of women because we're so supportive of each other, you know? And
absolutely.
Great intuition. And when I go to networking events and there is a circle of women, and I always make in a bigger circle, and one of the women at last event, she said, I do the same. And I said, I know, because, you know, we have this nurturing love and care. And it's just so wonderful to see that. And I think the most important thing is to pass to younger generation and mentor younger women to become successful, to believe impossible dreams. And truly, if you think, we live in the most amazing time in the history of mankind. We have incredible opportunities for each one of us, and we're much more powerful together.
Than we are alone. That is great.
Let's always remember that we have sisters all over this country. You can reach so many sisters, you know, through your show. And, you know, please send me all the updates, what you do. And it's my honor. And, you know, I'm just touched to share this morning with you and your listeners. So thank you so much again.
Well, thank you, Lon. And you can you have a great day, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You heard from Lana herself in her book, White Pearl and I, A Memoir of a Political Refugee. She's just really awesome. As you see, she's very dynamic, high energy. And her life is a homage to her greatest inspiration, which is her grandmother. I mean, I just really love that. It just shows you that she's very well grounded. And also it's a homage to all of the countless and hard work and of generous people that she, you know, met along the way to actually help her and encourage her to pursue the dream that she dreamt of having. I mean, you just never stop dreaming big because you never know what God has in store for you. He always meets us at the point of our needs and gives us the desires of our heart, particularly when you're true to yourself and you're true to that mission. So I really do admire Lana for her courage to leave home, her inspiration to women like myself and all those who are listening to her and who are inspired to achieve and accomplish those same goals. So it doesn't really matter where you come from. It's where you want to go. Just be true to that mission and hold on to those dreams, and God will send angels along the way to help you with your mission. So thank you once again. Svetlana's book is Svetlana Kim is her name, and the book, again, is called White Pearl and I. I will be giving you updates on that book to let you know exactly when it's going to hit the market, so you will be able to get a copy of her book. And now we have another fantastic woman that will be joining us this morning, another dynamic, high-energy woman, another friend and mentor, Sharon Myers. And Sharon Myers is a professional multi-level marketing professional, and she has great insights in terms of how to help you make money, how to pursue your dream and turn that into a enterprising mechanism. And we're going to bring Sharon on the line with us this morning so we can talk to her a little bit more about Sharon Myers' enterprise and a little bit more about multi-level marketing and network marketing and how it actually empowers women to be successful, even the stay-at-home mom. Sharon's incredible. She has four or five sons, and she's a stay-at-home mom, but she's a professional stay-at-home mom. That's the key, and she's able to go to school and learn Chinese with her son and still make money at the same time when she's at home. That's incredible. It's a life to be dreamt of. And Sharon, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing very well this morning, Cece. How are you?
I am doing just great. We had Lana Kemp to join us this morning. And whenever I have an opportunity to have a conversation with Lana, I tell you, I'm always uplifted. She's very motivational. She's very inspiring for me. And she's a great mentor. So I'm doing great. We also have another powerful lady in town. Her name is Faye, and she's a thunderstorm. And she has been pouring down rain on the state of Florida nonstop consistently since Tuesday, and it has been just really interesting. So she's telling her story as we speak as well. And how are you doing this morning?
I am doing very well. One thing that just touched me that Lana said was when she talked about teamwork and, you know, not one soldier can, you know, can win the battle. And it kind of like drew a correlation between, you know, what she said in network marketing, because to be successful with network marketing, you have to work together. You have to have a team. You cannot be successful alone. So I took, you know, that's something that really, you know, in listening to her, that's something that really stood out with me. It's not only in you know, in life, but it's in all other aspects of your life, in your business. In your personal.
Absolutely. in business and personal, everything that you do, you definitely need a team. To do that. And someone once said that it takes a team. It takes teamwork to make the dream work.
That is true.
And I just really love that. So thank you very much for joining us this morning. So won't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know that you will be a weekly feature because we really want to get the message out about network marketing and multi-level marketing because of the fact that it's something that will survive any type of economic conditions that we face here as a nation, anywhere in the world, and it's an international business. And so tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then we're going to ask you a little questions to get our listeners and our readers a little bit more familiarized with who you are and the business that you so promote.
Okay, like you said, I am a mother of 4 sons and 1 stepson, so that gives me 5 sons. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get rid of some of them by saying 2. I am really passionate about network marketing because of the things that it has been able to do for myself and for my family and for my team members. Everywhere I go, I talk about network marketing. I kind of fell into it, you know, through circumstances with having to move from New York to Florida, changing my husband, his circumstances at work changed where he was no longer going to have a pension, so I had to search for something alternative, and I had been a stay-at-home mom for 13 years prior to that. For about 11 years prior to that, and I did not want to go out, you know, outside of my home, you know, to look for a job. I wanted to be available to my kids, you know, 24 hours a day, literally. So I, you know, did some research. I've been hearing about it for a long time, did some research, did my homework, which is what everyone should do. You know, really do your due diligence when you're thinking of going into network marketing, and that's what I did. And I found a company which I've been with for just over 4 years, and, you know, that's the company that I've been building for the past 4 years. But along the way, I became distracted a little bit and, you know, joined other companies, and I learned my lesson, and that's something that I also want to talk about is, you know, really staying focused, you know, on what you're doing, and, you know, and focus on one particular business, 1 or 2. And I really never like to say 2, but, you know, sometimes that will work for some people. It did not work for me.
Okay. Now tell us, what is multi-level marketing, or most people call it network marketing? What exactly is that?
Okay. It is really built on the foundation of direct selling, and direct selling is actually the oldest form of selling. It provides opportunities for people to sell direct to friends, family, and neighbors. It is simply the business of selling a product or service face-to-face away from a retail establishment. You build a team of independent salespeople known as your downline. They do the same, which is called duplication, and create residual income. And we love residual income. You are paid on your efforts and have the ability to build and coach a team where everyone benefits by working together. That's, you know, that's network marketing in a nutshell.
Okay. Now tell me, how can the average person actually make money with network marketing? Is it possible? For instance, if I join network marketing, I would like to have, disposable income. I mean, after all my expenses, disposable income of $3,000 a month. How can a person, average person, make that kind of money?
Well, UCCU would do awesome. You would make a lot of money with network marketing, and mostly because of your, you know, you personally, because of your attitude, because of your contacts, and that's one thing. You really have to tap into your contacts, not necessarily to sell to them or try to recruit them into your business, but really to find out who they know who might be looking for something that you're offering, you know. And a lot of people, you know, tell you, you know, you can make $1 million overnight in network marketing. But that's just hype. There's no substance and no truth to that whatsoever. You can't.
You're about the overnight success of being a millionaire?
No, you can. I'm telling you right now, you cannot. You can become a millionaire in this industry, but you will never make it without adopting 2 principles and using them every single day of your life. And this,
I appreciate that honesty.
Yeah. If, you know, some people tell you, sign up here. You don't have to do anything. I will do all the work for you. You know, and it is simply not true. It involves work. And the first of those principles are you must pay consistent attention to your business. In other words, you can make $1 million and more, but you will have to work for it. Some people don't think that network marketing is work because they've heard, you know, it's easy, but you really have to work at it in order to be a success. And secondly, and most importantly, you must develop your ability to help other people become successful. And that's, you know, that's kind of like referring back to what Lana had mentioned about a team. You have to be able to, you know, above all else, you know, helping other people succeed. This will determine the speed and the extent of your success. If you're selfish and, you know, like, for example, say one particular company, you know, some people, they will never share the opportunity with others, especially if they live in a small town, because they figure, oh, this person will be taking my sales, and, you know, they don't want to share. And then, so therefore, their business never grows. It just stays, you know, it stays stagnant.
Now, is this a huge market? Is it network marketing? Is it a big industry?
Well, it is one of the fastest growing industries in the world, not only here in the U.S., but the entire world. I mean, network marketing is growing by leaps and bounds. Every day, over 7,000 people per day are online looking for a network marketing business, you know, a home-based business. It has sales of over $30 billion in the U.S. and over $100 billion worldwide. There's currently 15 million people, 15 million, involved in direct selling in the U.S. and nearly 50 million worldwide.
Wow, that is incredible. So now if I wanted to start a network marketing, and it's a lot of work, that's why I stay away from it, because I know it takes a lot of work. I mean, but no matter what you do, it's going to take a lot of work. I'm into marketing. That takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. But what's the first question I should ask if I was to come to you and say, you know what, I want to start a career in network marketing? What's the first thing I should ask you? But after I ask you, can I make $1 million overnight?
Well, the most important question is a crucial question. You know, am I right for network marketing? You know, people might say that it's right for you, but are you right for network marketing? You know, think where you want your life to be in 5 years' time. If you're prepared to work, nothing compares to network marketing. And if there's an ability to deliver income you require for the lifestyle you envision for yourself. It has never been easy. It's not, never has been easy, and never will be easy, you know. So beware of those who oversell you the opportunity, those people who sell you the million-dollar deals.
Okay.
it takes consistent time, effort, and energy to be successful in this business. And it only works if you do so. And so are you prepared to work? Are you right for network marketing? Because if you're not prepared to work, if you're not prepared to put in the consistent, persistent effort, it is not for you. So the important question, like I said, is am I right for network marketing? That's a really, really important question that you really need to ask before you decide that you're going to jump into this really exciting, you know, life-changing opportunity.
Well, that's really interesting. So not is network marketing the right thing for me, but am I right for network marketing? That's pretty interesting, because you're right, because it takes a different type of person to actually be able to build the contacts and help those contacts build contacts and to keep the tree going. It takes a lot of work and dedication. Not only that, detail and follow-up is key in that business. Being detail-oriented and being able to follow up is very, very key in that business, because you're responsible for building, the family, basically, recruiting people and training people and then train their trainees and then help them. So it's an ongoing tree. So you're constantly growing that tree and nurturing it with water and training and going out in the field. That's a lot of work.
Well, it is, and it's not for the faint of heart. You know, everyone, you know, some people tell you go out and recruit. But you're going to find you're out there recruiting people, and then because they don't have the stamina, they don't have the commitment, and they weren't, you know, network marketing wasn't right for them in the first place, or they weren't right for network marketing, rather. You know, it will never work. So you have to really find the people, you know, who are a fit for this business. And there's a select group of people that I try to target, you know, when I'm doing network marketing, because they're traditionally, you know, and historically, they do very well with network marketing, phenomenally well.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm an executive woman, and I'm looking to get a little bit of butter on the side to put on my bread. How do I select the right network marketing company, and what are the most attractive aspects of network marketing that I should be looking for in the company?
Well, you should really look for a company that has, at minimum, you know, has been in network marketing for at least 2 to 5 years, preferably 5 years or longer. You know, a company that has a management team that is experienced in network marketing, is assertive and yet fiscally conservative. You don't want to join a company that the management just, you know, spends all the profit and, you know, makes you buy all these additional sales aids and stuff like that. You know, you have to find a company that markets a product or service that is in high demand and is either unique or priced lower than equivalent products in the market. You also should find a company that has no longer term debt and is financially sound. I know this sounds like a lot of research, but, you know, there because you really, you know, this is going to be like a career for you if you decide to do it. So, you know, you really, you know, you don't just go and, you know, apply for any job or jump into anything if you don't have any experience or you haven't researched it at the very least. Those are some of the things that you need to look for in a really good company. There are quite a few others, but those can be found on my website. Some of the most attractive things that I love about network marketing is ownership. There are few comparable opportunities to own your own business for such a small investment. Where else can you start, you know, in any industry, a business for under, you know, let's say $500 and have it give you return an income in about, say, 3 to 5 years of up to $30,000 to $40,000 and more, you know, per month. Support is another attractive aspect. Although you own your own business, you're not alone. You become a part of a team, and you build a team also. Like you said, you also build, you know, I like the way you refer to it, building a family, because some of your team members really become like family to you. You know, training, you don't need a sales or business background or prior experience with the product you're selling. Your upline and network marketing company will help you find the necessary skills. There's flexibility, which I adore. That's one of the reasons why I chose to work at home, because, you know, the flexibility, you know, and also I get to choose the people with whom I want to work. And I choose my hours, and, you know, the harder I work, the bigger my paycheck. It gives me the flexibility to spend more time with my family and even involving them in my business. You know, you really cannot find a lot of other businesses, or even if you have your own business, brick and mortar business away from network marketing, your own small business, you know, sometimes you just don't have that flexibility. You have to be there, especially if you're in a restaurant business.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a lot of work. You know, there's also I'm attracted to personal growth, and it's a fast track to personal growth. You know, your growth in self-confidence, communication, and leadership skills never stop. So, you know, I've known a lot of people who have become much better, well-rounded individuals because of network marketing, because we never stop learning. We never stop working on self-development. And, you know,
now, do you think...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Now, do you think that network marketing actually empower women in general? Do you think that because as women, we are always reinventing ourselves?
We are.
And we're always looking for ways to. We are, right? And we're always looking for ways to actually enhance what we're doing. Now, we love security. We love security, so we would love to hang on to what we're having, to what we're doing. And if we're going to put a heart into network marketing, then we're going to try to do that. But do you think that it gives us a sense of power? You think it's very empowering for women in general to have that total control to write their own, design their own wealth?
I am so passionate about this, when it comes to empowering women. We hear about people talking about empowering women all the time, and, one of the biggest things I think that empowers not only women, but people in general, is money. because they say knowledge is power, but money is also power. If you don't have money to pay your bills, if you don't have money to, to feed your kids, you are virtually powerless because people say the love of money is evil, but, you really need to have money. And I'm going to be teaching a workshop in New York next month on this same subject, and I'm using network marketing as a model to teach women in general to become empowered. Network marketing can give you freedom, and that's, a lot of women, as women, we don't have freedom. You can balance your business and your family ambitions, use your natural talents and contribute to the family income. You can develop a career without making unacceptable sacrifices. And how about when you're pregnant? You can network with network marketing. You could take time off without, fear of losing your job. And, you could take time off before, during, after pregnancy. And, you can adapt your level of involvement as you move into enjoying a happy retirement. You can run your business practically from everywhere. Sometimes I run my business by the pool, You really have a sense of freedom with network marketing. You really don't have anyone breathing down your neck, your back, but the most powerful thing, I think, is the money that you get from network marketing that kind of empowers you, because when you have money, you have power and you are more, I think you limit your self-image and your self-confidence and self-reliance will improve once you have money that comes from network marketing or any other source.
I like that. You can stay right there for me. I like that. Well, tell me, what is the one piece of critical advice that you will offer to someone new to the industry of network marketing?
Okay, work on self-development. Your income is in direct proportion to your personal growth. Invest in yourself and be a continuous learner, because that's the only way you're going to develop as a leader. And the only way you're going to make huge amounts of money with network marketing is if you do become that leader, and then you teach other people to become a leader. So you really constantly have to be working on self-development. There's tons of books out there that you can read. You can go to the library. You can purchase them from Amazon.com. There's several, you can listen to tapes, DVDs, all sorts of stuff. The tools out there are limitless, to work on self-development. But that's one really key thing. Really work on your self-development, because that is really going to give you unlimited success.
Wow, that's awesome. I was just thinking that I thought about the time that I actually did try to do network marketing. I was trying to think of the time when I actually tried to do it. And I think what scared me, because I was talking about the element of money, overnight success, the work, building. I think that I was attracted to the initial marketing of that I can really make a whole lot of money, which I knew I was already making a whole lot of money at the time. But I'm thinking, boy, if I can make $1 million overnight on top of what I'm doing already, I'll be set, and I'll be able to retire by the time I'm 30. And then I was thinking that, oh, my God, but the work I will have to do in order to do that. And I think the reason why I decided to trade in the work, or trade in $1 million for the work I had to do, because I realized when they showed me the compensation plan, and I realized that, like back in the Bible when they said, 24 hours or the next day, it wasn't really like 24 hours. The next day could have been like a month or year. Mm-hmm. Well, when they said I could do it overnight, I realized the overnight could have been like maybe 10 to 15 years to make that $1 million. And then all the work and all the people that I had to encounter, and the headaches and the heartaches. And I think it scared me. But I know that network marketing is a really good business, because I have people, friends, who are very successful at it. But I think that initially, because I was not educated on network marketing, I looked at the work and it scared me, and I decided that I don't think I'm cut out for that. So that's really interesting, because I was thinking about when you said, are you right for network marketing?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, I realized that maybe it sounds great. I don't think I'm right for, because I don't think I want to deal with people like that. You know, I didn't think I want to do it. And I think that's why, because I was thinking, why didn't I ever, you know, take those opportunities? There were so many opportunities that came my way so many years ago. And I've helped other people be very successful in just giving them referrals, but it was easy to give a referral and to go as opposed to working the referral. So, I mean, that's really interesting when I really think about it. Now, what is a good source for people who want to learn more about network marketing? Because that's where I was at that point in time. I didn't want to learn more, and no one taught me more. So, therefore, it was scary for me. So what's a good source for people that want to learn more about network marketing after they go to your website?
Yes, they can go to my website. I have a movie on there called Brilliant Compensation, and it explains all about the business, trends, timing, and what you need to know to make some sound decisions for your future, because network marketing really can be your future if you choose to become educated about network marketing. It could be one of the best choices that you can ever make. I think of network marketing as a gift. You know, and when I say that, I really mean that. I think it's a gift to other people. So many people out there are struggling. And then there's so many people who, like Lana was saying, you know, she said, be true to yourself. There are people out there who are struggling, but they're struggling also so hard not to let anyone know that they're struggling. And so I think network marketing is a gift for all of those people, but they really need to become educated and really, you know, do some research. It doesn't take you, I mean, it's not going to take you even a month to research network marketing. To me, it took me all about a week, because, you know, I had the internet, and that's one of the most powerful tools that you have there. You just punch in network marketing and Google it, and, I mean, you're going to be overwhelmed by all the information that you're going to be presented with. But if you watch Brilliant Compensation, it really, really gives you an overview of, you know, the whole network marketing situation. And it's only 11 minutes long. And, you know, you can invest 11 minutes into your life, into your future. And it's on the website, and the website is sharonmayers.com, sharonmayers.com.
Now, Sharon, let me ask you, what are some of the fears you faced early on in your career, and how did you overcome them with network marketing? It had to be, I mean, you were a stay-at-home mom, so you had some sense of security there, knowing that, you know, financially you were taken care of. But just in terms of you as an individual and your independence and going out there and to, you know, to start a career, did you have fears, and how did you overcome them?
One of the fears actually went back to that I write for network marketing, because, you know, I looked at all the statistics, because you're going to find, you know, once you start your research, you're going to find the good, and then you're going to find the bad. And unfortunately, most of the time you're going to find the bad about network marketing, because, you know, some people are not looking for good information. Some people are looking for an excuse why they should not do it. So they always go to those sites that say network marketing is a scam, and then they kind of validate their fears and stuff like that. And I did that initially, like maybe the first day that I started researching it. And I thought, could I be successful at this? That was my, you know, that was my major fear, because I was, you know, one of the things says 90+% of the MLM population quits every year after failing, and I really was afraid.
Why is that?
Because, and I'll tell you what that is, because, like I said, they don't, you know, some people just do not work on their self-development. Some people go in with the idea, I'm going to make $1 million in a day. And if they don't make $1 million in a day, they quit. If they hear no, they quit. The slightest thing, you know, so they do not mentally prepare themselves for, you know, for network marketing. So that's one of the reasons why people quit. And another reason why people quit is also because they joined the wrong company, and don't matter what they do, that they are not going to work, the company is going to work for them, and they're not going to work for the company because they chose the wrong company to begin with. So that's why a lot of people quit. And, you know, I overcame my fears by educating myself on the industry, becoming coachable, working on developing myself so that I could be a leader, and, you know, and I wanted to be a leader. You know, when I looked at myself in the mirror, I wanted to ask myself, are you someone that I would want to follow? So I developed myself into that type of leader, someone that I would want to follow, someone I would want to hear advice from, get business advice from. You know, that's how I overcame my fears, by really developing myself and educating myself on the industry.
And what attracted you to it, again, was the flexibility,
yep,
the opportunity to write your schedule, to
that's
be
correct.
With your children, to have the flexibility to dream of what you wanted and to go off and to achieve it, and to pick and choose how you want that business to operate. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting. That is lovely. So what would you like, any final words of what you want our listeners and our readers of Silky Undress, Lifestyle the Lady CEO, to know more about Sharon Myers? I had an opportunity to look at your website, and you have some really great information on your website in terms of how you can erase those fears from individuals, how you can embrace them, their interests, and helping them to get involved in network marketing, and how to help them. I love the fact that you say, I want to give you the gift of prosperity, because that is very interesting that you are opening your arms to women who are curious about the industry and giving them opportunity to write their own paycheck, to become a diamond in their own eye. And you show them how to do that. You have that wonderful video there. You give them several tips in terms of how of what you've done to be successful in your career and to help them along the way, as well as you have this guy in there that you featured who wrote a book. His name is, what is his name, Paul Van?
Paul Van Pilzer, and he is really an expert on network marketing and, you know, the economy, and I've read his book several times. I've read several of his books. I also give to anyone who wants a free DVD on, you know, his thoughts on network marketing, because sometimes people need to have things validated by experts, you know, because I'm not an expert in, I'm an expert in network marketing, but I'm not an expert on the economy. He's been an economist for two presidents, you know, so he really knows his stuff. You know, every time I talk about this, I kind of like get goose pimples, because I think that there's nothing like network marketing once you begin to explore the magic of it. It's like it becomes kind of magical, because once you become passionate about it, you fall in love with it, you will never go back, you know, to life as it was before. And that's one of the things I encourage people to do is just to, you know, go to my website, explore the website. If you have any questions, email me, call me. I'm open to any questions, any concerns. And even if you are with a network marketing company already and you need resources and tips for the business that you're already in, I also help you with that. So, you know, I just think it's a beautiful thing, network marketing. That's just
well, that's great.
It's like a baby to me. It's like one of my kids.
Well, that's why you're successful with it, Sharon. It's okay, because I get that way too. But my magazine, I agonize over it, because it's my baby. That's your baby. That's your gift. You're supposed to nurture it. You're supposed to water it. You're supposed to give it nutrients and all that stuff. So go ahead, water it with love. Go ahead and have your passion for it, because I think, if you truly love it and it shows in everything that you do. I receive some products that you have, some companies that you market. I love them. I mean, so, you know, you have to be passionate about what you do, because if you didn't really love the products that you've given me, that I have to, that you share with me, I don't think I would enjoy them as much. I love them because when you gave them to me, the excitement you had, and he's like, you're going to love this, just try it. And guess what? I really do. I really do. So I'm so glad you are excited about it, and be excited about it without apology, because I think that it's a fantastic business. I was too chicken to get involved with it at that point in time. I think because I had a huge security net, because I was making tons of money at the time. And so to do all that work to make just about money that I was making it right now, you know, I thought, excuse me, to make as much money as I was making at the point in time, you know, I felt that, you know, I'll do it later on. But I'm glad that you've taken the time and opportunity to be encouraged and bold to do it now, and you're successful. So be passionate about it and encourage other women coming behind you who's looking for that ultimate career to join network marketing, because that's something they can bridge and build alliances all around the world. It's a global business. And I applaud you for what you're doing. I'm excited about your excitement.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really, there's nothing I enjoy talking about more than network marketing and my kids. And, you know, my kids actually get to help me with my business. My son, you know, I do several things online, social networking. And my son, my oldest son, Ben, has actually taken over a little part of doing some stuff for me online. My younger sons, they help me prepare my business brochures and, you know, putting labels on my stuff. So it's a family effort. My kids are involved. So it's a business that you can really get your kids involved in. And then they see you doing this and they're going to be motivated, you know, to do what you do, to follow in your footsteps. You become a role model for your kids also, because they see that you're putting your all into your business. And another thing that I love is, you know, I read a lot. And, you know, my kids see me reading, and they have always had a natural love for reading. And I find that because we sit down in the evenings and we read, and, you know, everybody's reading together. So nobody's sitting down vegetating in front of the television. And, you know, we're all learning and earning together, because I do pay them a salary.
I was going to ask you about the compensation plan. Do they like the compensation plan that they're getting?
They do. Because a lot of what we do with my business is, we, you know, something we call like styling the business. So, you know, I go to, say, for instance, Starbucks, and we put together scent samples, and they get to have those little Starbucks treats. And, you know, it's a habit of mine to just take them out, and we go to the restaurant, and we just, you know, I'm doing my business, and they're getting little treats, and, you know, they're meeting people, seeing how I do the business, so they're learning a lot of life lessons, you know, and learning, you know, how to communicate with others, how to talk about business, you know, and they've become truly educated through me becoming educated about network marketing. And, you know, I don't know if they would be having these experiences if I were not involved with network marketing. So it's been a family affair.
Well, that is awesome. Now, Sharon, thank you very much for joining us this morning and sharing your passion and your love, your baby, the network marketing industry that you're in. And I'm glad that you really do love it. You're a true professional at it, and you're an expert. I've had an opportunity to read some of your blogs, which is really, really great. And I just want you to tell people how they can find you. Give them your website and give them your phone number where they can get in contact with you if they have any questions, or, you know, about the business, or would like to get involved and like to join your network.
Okay. My number is 321-574-0466, and my website address is sharonmayers.com, sharonmayers.com. And, you know, just Google me and you'll find me.
Okay, great, Sharon. Thank you very much once again for joining us. And we will be talking to Sharon again next week, this time for some more on multi-level marketing. Thank you, Sharon. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day yourself. Bye-bye.
Thank you so very much for joining us this morning. We had two dynamic women on this morning. I tell you, one of the things, my mission, I'm just very true to my mission, is that I love to be surrounded by very excited women who are excited about what they do. I love to be inspired by women who are inspired by what they do. I love to be around successful women who are successful for being inspired by what they do, and successful because they love what they do. It is just such an empowering thing that women have when they come together and they embrace each other's tears, fears, and successes, and it just makes us just one awesome community. And I thank all of you once again for tuning into us and listening to Silky and Dress Lifestyle of the Lady CEO Talk Show. And stay tuned because we do have some other great women that will be joining us on this platform. I call it my living room of success. And we will have more women that will be joining us in the next coming weeks, telling us more about what they do in the various different industries and all around the world. So once again, I thank you truly so very much for joining us. I'm your host, CC Cole, and I'm going to leave you with our signature song from Bimal Jean Tafur, and that is Consolation. Thank you. Until next time, have a great day.